Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. This week is part two about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. This crisis has taken all the attention away from COVID. I mean, who cares about a virus when bombs are being dropped? And in one sense, this war in Ukraine is helping people set their priorities right. The left has all been concerned about made-up grievances such as global warming, wokeness, transgender inclusion. But now they have to face some of the realities of this world. Third world problems are becoming first world problems. Here's an interesting quote. What will happen in the next 100 days will determine what the next 100 years will look like. And the point is this. If Russia begins to attack from the east, and then China begins to attack Taiwan, there will be a new Cold War, even a hot war. The totalitarianism of China and Russia versus Western democracies. And then the Middle East could explode as other nations are busy defending their own borders. To quote the Russian foreign minister, the next world war will be a nuclear war. Now, as I mentioned last week, I'm not predicting World War III. No man knows the time or the hour of the apocalypse. But on the other hand, every major world conflict started with these little skirmishes, and the people at that time thought it would amount to nothing. It's the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 principle. While they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Here's an interesting article posted at the beginning of February. Texas pastor says, I'm 99% sure Russia is not invading Ukraine. Well, I'm glad he didn't say he was 100% sure, because then he'd be wrong. If you only say you're 99% sure, you can always have an out. Quote from this pastor, the new religion that we're living in this day and age, is politics. They get their power when we give them their attention. The beautiful thing is that when you say yes to Jesus Christ, you enter into a new kingdom. I'll be prophetic with you. I'm 99% sure Russia is not invading Ukraine right now. I'm not trying to get political, but this is where fear of invasion and all this stuff is trying to get people emotional. Once you see media outlets starting to do really emotional things, be careful. Conspiracy theories are becoming an issue for the church. Evangelical pastors are seeing the far-right radicalizations of their congregations, with more people relying on social media for their news, where fake news and conspiracy theories are rife. Well, we can see that this pastor is trying to warn his people not to get too political, but there's a ditch on both sides of the road, being too politically minded and not being politically minded enough. For example, the early New Testament church followed the prophecy of Luke chapter 21. So when they saw the Roman armies coming against Israel, the believers escaped in time. So following the news to discern the signs of the time is a righteous spiritual endeavor. Plus, with all of this talk about Russia's aggression, it opens up some great witnessing opportunities. If you know how to move the conversation over to biblical prophecy and to Christ. I was just in conversation with two guys on my street, and I explained to them how the Bible says that an apocalypse is coming, and the Revelation says someday someone will go forth conquering and to conquer, and peace will be taken from the earth. And Revelation chapter 6, 1/4 of the earth's population will be wiped out. And these men had their ears opened to the gospel. Well, my point is this. Be wise, be ready, for our Lord is coming in a day when we think not. Matthew 24:44. Here's another article in this regard. Not a pastor, but a CIA senior officer, Dan Hoffman, who didn't expect Putin to invade Ukraine. Quote, the profile of Vladimir Putin from today is not the one that we would have written 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. And so if we thought about Putin as a cold, calculated chess player, which I frankly thought he was, and I thought he was going to extort a deal out of us and never go to war against Ukraine because that would be too prohibitively costly in terms of spilled blood, but that's not the guy we're dealing with now. So it's almost like we've seen a transition from a chess player to a poker player, unquote, CIA officer Dan Hoffman. And similarly, 4 weeks ago, if you were to ask me what I thought about Russia invading Ukraine, I would have said Putin is probably going to take the two Russian-speaking provinces in the east and only threaten to invade Ukraine in the west to get Europe to capitulate to some issues affecting Russia. But my mistake was in assuming that evil was logical, and it's not. The desire for power and war blinds logical, even basic self-preservation thinking. So there's no telling what's going to transpire over the next few weeks. NATO has just given the green light for Poland to give all of their old Soviet MiG fighter planes to the Ukrainian army. And the Ukrainian Air Force is using airfields outside of Ukraine to fuel and to launch. And Russia has just stated that any country that allows Ukraine to use its airfields will be considered enemy combatants. So we could see Russia begin to bomb inside Poland or the other Baltic states. Plus, the United States is shipping tons of military equipment over to Ukraine. And that's going to provoke Russia. Russia has already declared that U.S. sanctions against Russia are an act of war. So if Putin is your typical totalitarian madman, like Hitler or Mussolini, Stalin, Mao, Saddam Hussein, don't underestimate his willingness to push the nuclear button if he gets pushed into a corner. And this is why Biden is still buying and importing 400,000 barrels a day of Russian oil into the United States. Even Democrats in his own party are complaining that he's funding both sides of the war, funding the Russian army with oil money, and at the same time spending $350 million on new military aid for the Ukraine. But what's happening here is Biden's advisors are warning Biden that he can't be too tough on Putin, otherwise Putin will escalate the war. Biden's between a rock and a hard place. And I'll discuss more about that in my YouTube. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. I also have to make the caveat that I'm recording this program on Monday, and it will be aired on radio stations this weekend, so there's a good chance much of what I say will be obsolete. In our world of 24/7 news, news has a short shelf life. So the main topic I really want to discuss is what the Bible has to say about foreign policy and how wicked leaders always fail at foreign policy. Last year, October 2021, right after Biden just had his embarrassing pullout from Afghanistan, the former Secretary of Defense in the Obama administration, Robert Gates, said, Biden has been wrong on every major foreign policy decisions in the last four decades. Gates was being interviewed on CBS's 60 Minutes, and Anderson Cooper was asking Gates about his 2014 book, his diary, called Duty, Memoirs of Secretary at War. And in that book, written 7 years earlier, even before Biden was campaigning to be president, Gates wrote that Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy decision and national security issue for the past four decades. Now, we have to appreciate who Robert Gates is. This statement was not just some political hyperbole. Gates has served as Secretary of Defense under Bush and Obama, 26 years in the CIA. He became the director of the CIA. He's the president of Texas A&M University. And his resume goes on, and it's quite impressive. And if you do look into every foreign policy position that Biden took when he served in the Senate since 1973 and 8 years as vice president of the United States, in retrospect, it's been proven that Biden has been wrong about every foreign policy decision, from Vietnam to the war in Iraq to the 9/11 response to Afghanistan, and now in his handling of Ukraine. And also remember the political story from 2019 that Obama told party members, don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up. Now, it's not just Biden who gets foreign policy wrong, even Obama himself. Remember in the presidential debates between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, Romney was asked, what was the greatest threat to America today? And Romney said, Russia. And everyone laughed. Obama came back at him with that memorable line, the 1980s is calling and wants their foreign policy back. Meaning that Russia was a threat back in the 1980s, but now we don't have to worry about Russia. Putin's no threat. Well, guess who's having the last laugh? Mitt Romney and those who are warning not to appease Russia. I also have this video clip that I'm going to show on my YouTube where President Trump is at a roundtable talking with European leaders. And here is some of President Trump's rebuke. Quote, it's very sad when Germany makes an oil and gas deal with Russia, where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia, and then Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we are protecting all of these countries, and then numerous of these countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia, where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia, unquote, President Trump, 2018. So I told you so, just doesn't say it's strong enough. So here's the question, why is this? Why has Biden and the left gotten foreign policy wrong at every turn? And someone like Donald Trump, who had no political experience, understood the real threat and took action. Well, it's because of worldview. How Biden and the left view the world versus how the conservative right views the world. You know, these days, we talk about worldview all the time in the church. And what we mean by worldview is what one believes about man's nature, man's purpose, about God's law, about morality, about what's most important in life and in the world. And the decisions we make are all based upon our worldview. For example, if you believe that people are basically good and are just misinformed when they do crimes, you will make totally different policy decisions than if you believe man is basically evil and man has to be constrained by the force of law and punishment. And if you believe that global warming is the greatest existential threat to humanity in the 21st century, you will make policy decisions that are totally different than those who believe human sin is the greatest existential threat to humanity in the 21st century. And it's because of this that Joe Biden has a wrong worldview, a leftist view of man and the real problems and solutions in this world. And so that's why he's wrong in every foreign policy decision. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State under Trump, said in an interview last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin always had a dream of greater Russia. That hasn't changed. That has been constant since he's been in charge of Russia. What has changed is American leadership. Under the Trump administration, there was a deep understanding that we were going to put America first and we're prepared to protect the things that matter to us. And when someone crossed that, when someone did something that risked an American life or put our economy at risk, we responded. But when you're weak, when you allow the debacle in Afghanistan, this is precisely what bad guys will see. I'm really worried about a cascading set of calamities around the world. I'm confident that the Ukrainian people will fight, but we could see Xi Jinping see a weakness. We could have Chairman Kim of North Korea see a weakness. The Russian invasion of Ukraine could lead to a world war. Now, as for sanctions, the Biden administration has imposed on Russia, they won't be strong enough to deter what's happening this afternoon or tomorrow. Then Pompeo went on to urge the Biden administration to rescind all of their rulings against the U.S. oil industry and to start sending oil and gas around the world. Quote, we are by shutting down American energy, we're fueling a communist invasion. We should take away the resources from Russia, just like we did to the Iranians and the Chinese during our time in office. Those are the kinds of things that change the calculus for thugs like Vladimir Putin. United States is the greatest nation in the history of civilization. We should act that way, not with arrogance or hubris, but with dynamic, humble power that speaks with moral clarity about our Judeo-Christian tradition and the country that we are. When we do that, other countries will want to be our friend. Allied nations will want to partner with us and trade with us, and our adversaries will behave in ways that are more normative, less ruthless. As far as Russia and China, neither of them give a stitch about human life, and both have grand intentions for the building of greatness for their own nation. Russia and China have things they disagree on, but for the moment, they're going to find common cause. The important difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration is that we were fearless about protecting America everywhere in the world. We wanted religious freedom to be one of the things we worked on deeply. The current administration, has chosen to lead with climate change. And when you put climate change at the top of your agenda, when the conversation isn't about power, but about carbon footprint, the world thinks of you in a deeply different way. I sadly think that the change in priorities and a lack of focus of America first has driven Vladimir Putin to think that he has this opportunity. Unquote, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a genuinely Christian man. So notice the different worldviews that result in different foreign policy. Now, here's the Bible study for today. The Old Testament records the fall of ancient Israel due to her sin, but it was occasioned by foreign policy blunders. Most new Bible readers miss this lesson. And there are passages like Jeremiah 2:18, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? Or Isaiah 30, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me? Or Jeremiah 2:36, why do you go around so much changing your ways? You will be put to shame by Egypt, as you were put to shame by Assyria. Or Hosea chapter 7, verse 11. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove, without sense. They call to Egypt. Then they go to Syria. So what are these texts all about? Well, the prophets of God were rebuking the national leaders for their foolish foreign policy, which included making wrong alliances with Egypt and Assyria. So recognize that the emphasis of Scripture is that Israel's defeat came through the occasion of Israel's foolish foreign policy. Now, God could have made the occasion the strength of Israel's enemy, or the failure of Israel to build defensive fortifications, or maybe economic or social factors. But the main occasion in Scripture that's pointed out was Israel's stupid foreign policy. And it wasn't simply that Israel wasn't hawkish enough, but Israel would go to war when she shouldn't have gone to war, and Israel didn't go to war when she should have gone to war. It wasn't a one-size-fits-all policy, but a righteous discernment for each situation. And it was always the ungodly kings who, in following the immorality and the idolatry of Baal worship, that also followed disastrous foreign policy. Some examples, Jehoshaphat in the southern kingdom made an alliance with Ahab and Jezebel in the northern kingdom to help the northern kingdom fight the Syrians. And that was a major defeat for both northern and southern Israel. And the prophet later came to Jehoshaphat and said, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord?" Like when President Nixon made an economic alliance with atheistic communist China, which enriched our enemy over the last 40 years. Or take the example of King Ahaz. He paid off the Empire of Assyria to help him defeat the Arameans. But 2 Chronicles 28:20, the king of Assyria came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Although Ahaz took a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the palace of the king and of the princes and gave it to the king of Assyria, but it didn't help him. Kind of like President Obama sending pallets of cash to the Iranians to work out a nuclear deal. And in the final destruction of Israel in 586 BC, it was the final four kings of Israel who reigned over a period of about 12 years who brought about the invasion of Babylon by their foolish foreign policy decisions. They wouldn't listen to the foreign policy advice of Jeremiah, but continued to believe the lie of the false prophets that Israel should form an alliance with other nations to defeat Babylon. And also in AD 70, when Israel was destroyed again by the Romans, it was the foolish policy of the Zealots who brought the wrath of the Romans down upon the nation. And in the future, when Israel and all of the nations are again destroyed in the apocalypse, it's because the world makes a foreign policy blunder in creating a one-world government under the rule of an Antichrist-type leader. They do this thinking that this will prevent war. So the point is, the spiritual condition of our soul is demonstrated in this world by the decisions we make, by who we align ourselves with. Psalm chapter 9, verse 15, "The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made. In the net which they have hid, their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment in the work of his own hands. The wicked is snared." So there are some great biblical insights that we can gain concerning our own day by studying the failed foreign policy of ancient Israel. But of course, our leaders today pay no attention to God and his word. Let me close with this one lesson. In the New Testament, there's no talk about failed foreign policy. Because even though that's something our current leaders need to learn about as far as their work in this earth, the focus of the New Testament is the more important foreign policy decision of whether you and I make our alliance with Christ and his kingdom rather than Satan and the kingdoms of this world. The New Testament deals with the real spiritual foreign policy decision. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Therefore, we as ambassadors for Christ," and that's a political term, "as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Not Rome, not Egypt, not Syria. Well, there's a lot more to be discussed concerning leftism, failed foreign policy. I'll save that all for my video version of this program, God and Country Biblical Exposition at Rumble and YouTube. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege that you have granted to us in inviting us to be united with you. May everyone listening today make peace and detente with you. Through faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.